Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night online Bible study. We're in Genesis, and we're looking at how to live beyond our circumstances. And today, we're going to look at the temptation, the pitfall of temptation. Now, last week, we saw that regardless of what's happening in our lives, we can know that God is at work for His own purpose. So we should not despair if our circumstances are weighing heavy on us. Don't give up. Just as surely as God had planned for Joseph, He's got a plan for us. Now, the point of our study tonight is that remembering what's at stake helps us to overcome during times of temptation. Have you ever had this thought? That really looks good. Things flash before our eyes and we feel an urge to respond. Maybe it's a second helping of cake. Or something you don't need and you can't afford, but it sure looks good. How about a bunch of Reese's peanut butter cups? Wow! You see, temptation lies around every corner. And sometimes we'll not give in to temptation because someone's looking over our shoulder saying, "Don't eat that. You really don't need that." Well, someone is watching over our shoulders, folks. The Lord Himself. So in today's study, Joseph shows us what it means to live with that truth in mind. God is watching our every move. Joseph's aim was to keep himself clean in the midst of a filthy, dirty culture. And we may not be tempted the way Joseph was. Maybe we would. But we will face temptation. We all do. Many are tempted to the love of money and trying to find security in having wealth. Or maybe a relationship that could possibly destroy your marriage. Even a colleague who is experiencing great success and you're kind of envious of that. Well, Joseph's approach to temptation can help all of us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And I'll begin reading in the first verse. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. While Joseph was in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Now, at the end of our last session, you remember Joseph was being hauled off to Egypt with a broken heart. Disowned and sold into slavery by his own brothers, he had little hope that the dreams he once shared with them was ever going to come to pass. But rather than simmer with anger and seek revenge, he chose to bloom where he was planted, as they say, and to trust God to see him through what was going on. And as he experienced success, he would face new temptations and new challenges. But in spite of Joseph's circumstances, God was at work in his life. So Joseph couldn't take credit for the continual success that he was experiencing. In addition to Joseph's good work with Potiphar's house, he was also blessed with good looks, kind of like some people. In fact, verse 6 says, Joseph was well-built and handsome. He may have had the hand of God upon him, yet these very blessings also could present challenges and temptation. You see, God doesn't bless us to hoard his blessings. He blesses us so that we can serve as a blessing to those around us. In other words, with blessing comes responsibility. Joseph served with great faithfulness. In fact, verse 6 says, Potiphar did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. In fact, the Hebrew phrase, did not concern himself, literally says he did not know what was in his house. Joseph took care of the things to such a degree that Potiphar didn't have to think about them at all. Potiphar not only trusted Joseph with his house and his fields, but he also trusted him with his wife. He believed Joseph was trustworthy. And at the same time, Joseph knew his behavior needed to reflect the trust in order to remain esteemed by his master. But one temptation became overwhelming in the idea of Potiphar's wife. She had fixed her eyes on Joseph, and she's probably used to getting what she wants. Would Joseph sacrifice his integrity, whatever, for that momentary pleasure she might be able to offer him? And this moment of decision defined Joseph's entire life. He could have given in to Potiphar's wife, but what we see is Joseph chose a different path. Look at chapter 39, beginning in verse 8. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be close to her. He refused to fall under her spell, and he literally shielded himself from her advances. So how did Joseph muster this inner strength? How did he stand firm when so many other men would have fallen for that trap of sexual temptation? Well, Joseph's secret was that he made a decision long before that day, a decision to pursue God above all things. He had already determined to please God with his life. What was foremost in Joseph's mind was not how Potiphar would react, but how God would react. When it came to temptation, it's impossible to avoid every image that the world brings in front of our eyes. Not just sexual temptation, we're tempted in so many different ways. And keeping a clean conscience before God is so critical. Joseph was committed to keeping his life and his conscience pure. And so do we. We have to really do that. Many Christians live as if they never have to deal with temptation in their lives. I run across them. They think they're immune from the enemy. That's not really, and it's not reality. Sadly, King David can tell you about that. He was successful. He had everything. He was the king over the nation. But he let his guard down, and he sinned against God. He gave in to temptation with another man's wife, placing pleasure above his purity as a king, and destroying many lives as a result. Countless people have committed the same mistake. Well, let me ask you this. You think there's grace for those failures? Of course there is. But the consequences can be intensely painful. And the wise course is to decide beforehand what to do when that temptation appears. God's Word provides the guide. We're to set our standards high and really commit to them. Be resolved to trust the Lord courageously. Now look at verses 11 and 12. One day he went to the house to attend his duties, and no one of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Potiphar's wife grabbed the hold of Joseph, and Joseph sensed that there was only one solution. Three-letter word, run! It's an aggressive movement. He left his cloak there in her hands. Joseph fled immorality. As Adrian Rogers used to say, he saturated that place with his absence. The Apostle Paul may have had that story in mind when he challenged the church in Corinth. He said, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Those who indulge in sexual immorality will have to deal with the baggage that comes with it. This is why Joseph provides such a vivid picture of the Christian response to pornography, to adultery, and all forms of lustful fantasy. So run from the first hint, just as Joseph did. That's the best way. Saturate that place with your absence. Running from temptation is the key to our survival when we face spiritual warfare. But more important than running away from sin is the daily decision to walk closely with the Lord Jesus. We should not simply focus on what we're running from, but what we're running to. The pursuit of God is a far more appealing goal than the mere avoidance of sin. Martin Luther used to say, you cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Remember what's at stake, folks. Helps us overcome temptation. And as we no longer look at the little temptations of our life, we grow in our ability to say no to the larger temptations in our life. So let's say no to the flesh. Let's seek the Holy Spirit so we can grow closer to the Lord. Amen? Well, that ends our Bible study online for this evening. But I trust that you'll see us on Sunday in church. We're looking forward to a great day. We're talking about the 23rd Psalm. Looking forward to seeing you there. Folks, God is so good all the time. See you in church.